Franklin Delano Roosevelt, yes, the beloved liberal who brought us welfare and Social Security, may have attempted one of the most audacious presidential moves of all. Back in the 1930s, during the Great Depression, the Supreme Court struck down a number of New Deal laws. And so, in 1937, afraid this would continue, FDR asked Congress to allow him to add 6 new Supreme Court justices. This audacious move has come to be known as the court-packing scandal of 1937. Gene Edward Smith is the author of FDR, and he says it almost ruined the president.
He was very cocky. There's absolutely no question about it. And he took on the court. It was something that he had been planning for some time. Robert Jackson, later Justice Jackson, who was then the general counsel of the IRS, told Roosevelt that back during Grant's term, the Supreme Court had ruled against the legal tender that had been circulating since the Civil War, the greenbacks, we call them, and that Grant had gotten 2 additional appointments to the court, and the court then reheard the case and decided in Grant's favor. Well, that intrigued Roosevelt, and so he told Homer Cummings, his attorney general, to look into it and to start to devise plans. Curiously, Roosevelt didn't tell anyone else. This was tightly held between Cummings and himself. No one in the cabinet knew. None of his advisors knew. No one on Capitol Hill knew. So Roosevelt and Cummings plotted this alone, and in March of 1937, sprang it on a totally unsuspecting cabinet, White House staff, and Congress.
So what actually were they planning?
It was a proposal that for every federal judge who reached the age of 70 and did not retire within 6 months, the president would be able to appoint an additional judge or justice in order to help out with the workload. The idea was that these 70-year-old justices just couldn't keep up with the workload, and there needed to be a younger judge or justice appointed to help them out.
Now, how many of the Supreme Court were over the age of 70 when this was proposed?
6 at the time were over 70, which would have given Roosevelt 6 additional appointments. And the irony is that Louis Brandeis, who was the oldest justice on the court, he was 80, was the one who was most in favor of the New Deal. So, and maybe I should also say that adding or subtracting justices to the Supreme Court is not something that started with Roosevelt. The Constitution does not fix the size of the court.
Now, I think this is something that people really don't understand, that somehow we've got it in our heads that 9 is the number.
Well, 9 has been the number since 1870, but the Constitution does not fix the number. It leaves it to the Congress to decide. Originally, in 1788-89, the Supreme Court was fixed at 6. When Adams lost the election to Mr. Jefferson in 1800, the outgoing Federalist Congress reduced the size to 5 so that Jefferson would not get an appointment. The Jefferson Court repealed that and then increased the number to 7 to give Jefferson an additional appointment. It stayed at 7 until Andrew Jackson's time, when Congress added 2 more to make the number 9. Then in the Civil War, to ensure that there was a pro-Union, anti-slavery majority, the number was increased to 10. When President Lincoln was shot and Democrat Andrew Johnson succeeded him, the Republican Congress reduced the court from 10 to 7. And it was 7 when Grant became president, and then the Congress increased the number to 9, and Grant appointed those 2 justices who changed the decision in the legal tender cases. And it's been 9 since 1870, but it's purely by congressional legislation.
Boy, it all of a sudden begins to sound like a much less stable situation than anyone would have thought. So from that perspective, this is not at all unreasonable for Roosevelt to enter the fray.
No, since 1870, the number had been 9. But if Roosevelt had asked for 1 or 2 additional justices, I think there's no question Congress would have passed legislation increasing the size of the court to 11. But he didn't. He came up with this cockamamie scheme that would have given him 6 additional appointments. And I think 6 was just more than the traffic would bear.
This is where the act of hubris comes in. He overstepped.
He overstepped, and he was really too clever by half. He did this secretly, and he did it on bogus reasoning, arguing that the justices were behind in their workload and they needed new justices to keep up. How 15 are going to act more quickly than 9 is an interesting question, but Chief Justice Hughes really broke with precedent and wrote a long memorandum detailing how the court was not only abreast of its workload, but was handling more cases than any other court during the 20th century. Senator Wheeler read Hughes's letter before a packed committee room, and that sort of destroyed whatever logic there was behind Roosevelt's position.
What's interesting to me in a way about this is the result of Roosevelt's act of hubris, and that comes in these reactions that his secretive plan got. As you say, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court broke with precedent and wrote a letter detailing the way in which the court operated. What other reactions were there? What happened in Congress, for instance?
Well, initially, as soon as it was read in Congress, Hatton Sumners of Texas, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, refused to bring the bill before his committee. He told Sam Rayburn, the majority leader, he said, Sam, here's where I cash in my chips. And Sumners just wouldn't bring the bill before the committee in the House, which meant that it had to go to the Senate first.
Well, and we should add here that this is a House that had been passing Roosevelt's legislation overwhelmingly, hundreds of votes more than they needed half the time.
Absolutely. And not only that, but they came back with a whopping majority after that 1936 election. It was almost a 3-to-1 House.
There's several things about this that are curious, because Roosevelt, as you describe him in this biography, is an extraordinarily canny politician who had managed to work with his antagonists to create a government that really moved forward. In this case, he seems not to have been a very smart politician at all.
You're absolutely correct. He turned against everything that he had done previously and all of the other legislation that he'd sent forward. He'd worked closely with Congress to bring them in, and this was kept totally secret. In fact, it was one of the nice stories about it, I think, is the night before he announced it, he had the Supreme Court into the White House for the annual dinner for the Supreme Court that the president gives, wined and dined the court, didn't say anything to them, and then sprang it the next morning at 12 o'clock. He enjoyed that, I think.
Well, that sounds more like the FDR we know, a man who could play the game. But still, the game he's playing here seems almost destined for failure from the beginning.
You're quite right. And for some reason, Roosevelt, I believe because of this enormous electoral victory, didn't feel he had to inform anyone beforehand. He enjoyed the secrecy. He enjoyed springing it and then couldn't understand why the Congress reacted negatively and why the public, the bar associations, and the newspapers across the country all began to condemn him.
Now, what did happen in this case? Because Roosevelt did go on to win two more presidential elections for a variety of reasons, of course. This wasn't the end of his career, but in some ways, maybe
it would have been the end of his career if World War II hadn't occurred. I think that's quite clear. What happened in this is that all the bar associations across the country waded in against it, mailed to Capitol Hill, ran 9-1 against the president's proposal, and the Senate Judiciary Committee voted 10-8 against the proposal. The debate dragged on in the Senate, and when the vote occurred in the Senate, Roosevelt lost 20 in favor, 70 against.
And what was Roosevelt's reaction to that?
He was livid. He was livid. He dug in his feet, as he liked to say. And he never forgave many of those who voted against him.
And then, as far as the Supreme Court is concerned, he was given the opportunity to appoint more justices.
Yes, than any other person. He appointed 8, ultimately. Stone is the only one who Harlan Stone of New York is the only one who Hoover had appointed who continued on the court throughout Roosevelt's tenure. I think he also did something, too. I think he gave court packing a bad name. I think that his attempt was such an egregious reach for power that no president or Congress has ever thought about changing the number from 9 since.
Gene Edward Smith is the author of FDR.